Hey everyone, welcome to Voices in Japan. On today's show, we talk about a recent consumption tax hike that happened on October 1st. So the consumption tax went up from 8% to 10%. So there's been a lot of confusion as the tax on some of the goods have increased to 10%, but then there's other goods that have not increased. And also some companies have decided not to implement the new tax increase altogether, and there's even some companies that have decided to raise their prices way above the 2% increase, such as Japan Rail Hokkaido. They actually raised their prices by like 15 to 20%. Yeah, it's all very confusing. There are a lot of unhappy people around, me included. And we also talk about Japan trying to push cashless payments and how they're going about doing that. All right guys, hope you enjoy the show. On with the show. 1, 2, 3. Well, what should we talk about today? We're talking about the new tax hike, which started October 1st, 8% to 10% consumer tax, right?
Yeah, consumption tax increase.
Consumption tax.
Yeah.
Consumption tax.
And
there's been a lot of issues,
problems. Well, A, because it's so confusing. I mean, do you have everything straight in your head?
No, I've got a rough idea.
Yeah.
One I heard was if you buy something to eat in, it's 10%. If you take away, it's 8%.
8%, right?
So that would be, what, convenience stores? Convenience
or
stores.
If you're buying the food.
So you're buying the food in the convenience store.
Oh, yeah.
You eat it in the convenience store. Because there's some convenience stores have like an eating area.
Yeah, I don't know what they would do in that situation.
I heard it's 10%.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I heard also if you ask them to heat it up, like microwave to heat up, 10%.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Man. And if you don't say takeout, if you don't say mochikairi,
yeah,
then they would charge you 10%. But if you say mochikairi,
yeah,
then they charge you 8%.
8%.
But you could do you can say mochikairi and then eat it on the premises and you still get charged 8%.
Oh, really?
Even though you haven't taken it out.
Oh, because, well, you've already paid.
Right. So you can do it. Oh, actually, I changed my mind last minute just as I was about to leave the door. And
I wonder if they would be like, no.
I don't think they would. Yeah. They should.
I mean, for them, it doesn't make a difference anyway because they're paying the tax.
Exactly. But that, you know, I'm not sure about, you know, like fast food restaurants.
Well, that's the thing. I went to McDonald's the other day for lunch.
Was that eating McDonald's for lunch, bro?
Yeah.
Really?
Man, sometimes I was trying to
get
away
for years,
from work.
Man.
Yeah. Well,
what do you have? Big Mac.
I will admit, I usually go like twice a month, just because it's a place to get away from work. But I have like a regular thing I've been ordering. It's called the Graham Bacon Setto.
Oh,
it's like
Grand Bacon.
Yeah. So it's like they've got these like grand sets that they've been selling for half a year or something. I usually get the Grand Bacon set. But I went there with the understanding that they would be charging the 10% because I would eat, because I ate in the restaurant. But it was the same price that it always was, 600 yen, which I'm very familiar with. I was buying.
So no change.
Yeah,
it didn't change.
Yeah, and I was like, why not? And then I went back to work and I was talking to a guy and I was like, yeah, I said to McDonald's. And he told me, yeah, McDonald's has said they're not going to charge extra.
Okay.
I don't know if that's temporary and eventually at some point they will change. But for right now, according to the guy at work and my experience, McDonald's is not charging 10% to eat in.
Well, the Subway transport system, they haven't changed either. They didn't change their prices.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I think I had to apply for a new take-in or like, what's it called? Like card for regular use.
Monthly pass?
Yeah, monthly pass.
Yeah.
And that increased.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I got the Subway on the weekend and you get like the Donichi pass.
Yeah.
Which I always get every weekend.
Okay.
And it's still 520.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it didn't go up.
Well, maybe just like Takeyken or the monthly passes, where certain things have, certain things haven't. Because, we did the application at work to get a higher amount paid, and I checked on the Subway website to check the price, and it had gone up like 20%.
But to JR, the Japan Rail prices went up by a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was shocked. I went to uni on last Friday. First time I'd taken the JR since the tax hike. And the price was almost 20% increase.
Yeah, I remember you said that.
And I was like, what the hell is going on? 20%? It's not 2%, yeah. It's not 10%, it's 20%. Yeah. And I tried to find out what was going on. I tried to find stuff online. But then you told me what the reason was, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of made sense.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently all of the railways in Japan used to be government businesses, but they all got privatized at a certain point. I think it was like six in Japan, five or six. And most of them, or not most of them, but actually I think most of them have been doing okay. And actually the government prepared like a special fund for the ones that couldn't be profitable to be able to draw on the special fund to receive support money, subsidies. But JR Hokkaido, apparently that money that they could draw on from the government is now also running out. And so like for the first time in 20 years or something, they're like, we've got to raise prices. And since they haven't raised it for so long, they're raising an average of like 11%. And obviously on certain routes, it's going to be much higher than just 11%.
So it's not everywhere has increased their prices by 2%. It's almost like everywhere has decided to either raise by a certain amount or keep it the same. So there's not really a rule or a law?
No, there's not. Well, I don't know specifically, but I know a lot of sales companies are trying to decide what to do, because a lot of sales companies introduce yearly price increases anyway, and they're trying to figure out like how would that affect their actual sales or promotions to customers if they double that with this 2% price increase. So some companies have been either withholding their regular price increase, or they've been withholding on this increase for the 2% with the tax increase, just trying to gauge like what's going to happen.
What I don't get is why do they have two separate ones? Why is one 10% and then others have not increased, like kept it at 8? Like why is there an 8 and why is there a 10? Why don't they just make it all 1?
For example, like,
you know, they have 8% for eating in, 10%, no, yeah, 8% for takeaway, 10% for eating in. Why don't they just have 10% flat for everything? Because then it's like way less confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if anyone's explained that. And you know what? There's been some people that have, I mean, a lot of people have complained about that exact thing.
I heard especially like staff, like people that work at place establishments, because they have to think which button to press, which is annoying for them.
Some people said that the government was trying to explain it as essentials for life, such as food, that they wouldn't want to raise it. But if you're doing a service of like requiring a service of eating in, then they would apply the 2% increase in that sense. But at the same time, medicine is one of those things that have had the 10%, so just kept it at 8%. And if people are saying, if this is all about what's essential for life, why are you going to raise the consumption tax on medicine, which is like what a lot of people need for their daily living to remain healthy and everything? It's a little bit counterintuitive, or it's kind of going against what the government
said. What about rent? Is rent going up?
I don't know. Because
rent, you have to pay rent.
The mortgage, yeah.
But I know houses, if you buy a house, yeah, that's gone up.
It has, but they have some breaks for people that are buying home. Can't remember exactly how it works, because obviously we've already bought, but I think they're giving certain breaks to help alleviate that burden on people for like the first 3 years or something. There was some special policy that was introduced for the first 3 years for people buying homes. where I kind of try to offset that a little bit.
So what's your understanding of the 8% and the 10%? Like, what things 8%? Like, you said essentials are 8%.
Yeah.
But what is considered an essential?
For food.
So all food. But it's not. Not all food is 8%, right? Like, if you take it, if you eat it in, it's 10%.
Yeah, but if you're eating in, then you're requiring the service of the staff. Mm.
Right.
And for that reason, I think it's they're going to boost
so
an extra 2%.
Bills, electricity bills, gas bills, 8%.
Yeah. Oh, because they're essential for living,
right?
I don't think so. I think actually that depends on the power company. Yeah, I'm not.
It depends on power company. Yes. I mean, this issue, I think, is just so confusing. Where it could be so simple, just raise it all the same way, and there will be no confusion, no arguments, because there's been a lot of complaints about the whole system as well.
Oh, totally. Well, let's look at the list right now. Is it 8% or 10%? This is the thing that we put up on the Facebook.
Right, yeah. Where's that from?
This was from... Where was this from? Actually, I posted it, and I stole this from a group on Facebook for teachers in Hokkaido.
Oh, nice.
But this says it's from the Sankei Shimbun, or Sankei newspaper. So yeah, examples of 8%. A lot of stuff, as you said, in supermarket, the foods, bread and bento boxes, rice, everything is 8%.
One more.
Objects for daily use, cosmetics, stationery, alcohol, pet food, medicine, plants, books, and newspapers.
Cosmetics, 8%.
Yeah.
What?
They're going to boom on that.
Wow. Cosmetics isn't essential, right? Surely. You don't have to wear makeup. It's not necessary to wear makeup. Yes. I guess I'm glad it is necessary.
No, but again, essentials are staying at 8%.
Right. But makeup isn't essential.
Yeah, so that's why it's not 8%.
Okay, it's not.
But I think there are some people that would argue with you that said it is essential.
What's soap?
Soap is, I think, considered in the 10% probably. Cosmetics, I would guess.
Toilet paper, surely that's got to be 8%.
Hey, who needs toilet paper when you've got a washlet?
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, right. Japan, we got washlets.
Yeah. I mean, something you were mentioning... as part of this, like, very, very confusing system that they're introducing, they're trying to encourage the shift to cashless payments.
Yeah.
As well.
Which is kind of about time, because Japan are very behind in terms of cashless payments, right? Everyone carries a ton of cash in their wallets. Whereas back at home, in our home countries, everyone can pay by like debit card and credit card.
Yeah, have you switched over to anything cashless yet?
I have. I've always had a credit card in Japan, which I use for air miles.
Yeah.
I get for every 100 yen I spend, I get 1 air mile for Japan Airlines. So I use my credit card for that. But apart from that, I don't use anything else. But I know there's a lot of schemes or companies that are you trying to push this cashless payment system?
Yeah, there's what? PayPay, Apple Pay.
Yeah, a lot of banks have their own. Mizuho have one called J-Coin Pay, which they started in August 27th. No, they didn't start it. It got shut down on August 27th because someone hacked it. And 7-Eleven. So they try to launch one as well, and they got hacked literally the week after in July 2019. So they got hacked straight away.
This
so I think
is
a lot of a lot of people are wary of this whole cashless system.
Yeah. Also, I think there's Line Pay,
Pasmo, Suica, Rakuten, and Amazon. They got online ones too. But do you have a debit card?
Not in Japan.
Yeah. I don't know many people that have a debit card in Japan.
No.
But whereas in England and America, I think it's very common for people to have debit cards.
Yeah.
And everyone pays with their debit card to buy everything, like newspapers, to, you know, carton of milk, stuff like that.
You know what I was reading, though, is that even like Line Pay because some of these, like where the apps themselves are very popular, now they're introducing these cashless payment systems. They're still charging merchants like 3%.
They're charging merchants 3%.
Yeah, so a lot of merchants aren't willing to get on board with the cashless payments, which obviously defeats the purpose.
But I know they're pushing, like the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, they're pushing these cashless payment systems, and to push that, if you use those payment systems, you're going to get 2 to 5% back of what you pay. So I think that's the incentive to go into cashless. But the scheme finishes next year in June 30th, so there's a small window.
Yeah, but there's a guy, actually, it was a TV program, talking about a guy who takes advantage of as many of these cashless payment programs as possible. And he like pulled out like 3 wallets just full of different cards.
Wow.
And ways to do cashless payments and point systems.
Smart.
And he was saying that he gets back like about Nijuman per year, so like $200,000 or $2,000 dollars per year. Just from being very, very diligent about using his point cards as cashless systems. So he was like totally 100% trying to push this like whole like idea. He was happy that the government was really pushing this cashless payments idea. So you could have like an extra $2,000 in your pocket if you're very vigilant.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that, but man, the amount of cards you gotta have, and you probably got to apply for a lot of these schemes as well. And it's just too much of a headache for me.
But so you're not going to do it at all?
I'm not going to do it at all just because I have so many like point cards already. But they're not these cashless payment systems. It's just, you know, the point card I have is the Lawson one. What's the Lawson one?
That's not Posmo, is it? What's it called? I can't remember.
But it's like Gayo, Lawson, and basically just get points for every time you spend money.
Ponta.
Ponta, that's it. So I have that one, and then I have my credit card, my Jail Mileage one. So that's enough for me, because then otherwise I just lose track of what's going on.
Yeah, and you're always pulling out a card.
So I'm just going to stick to that, and also I don't trust the government, you know, because I know that they're doing this because they can just... They're doing this just so they can keep tabs on everyone, like how much they're spending, how much they can tax you. Big brother, man.
Yeah, but again, man, like...
The rest of the world's doing that, though, I guess.
No. Well, that too, but, I mean, is anyone really that significant that the government cares? Like, we're not Bill Gates. Do you drive in Japan?
I have a license. I'm classed as a paper driver.
Okay.
And I drive my girlfriend's car sometimes.
Have you ever applied for the SD card?
No.
What's an SD card? I think it's called either Safe Driver or Safety Driver. Maybe Safe Driver. SD card. You never applied?
It's not like an SD card that you put in your phone, is it?
No. It's called SD card. I was going to bring it tonight, but I forgot.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I won't say why, but I'm required, not because of family or anything, but
so
other reasons.
So it stands for safety driver.
Yeah. No. And if you apply for this, they basically check your driving record. And for a certain number of years that you've qualified or you've had no tickets, traffic violations, speeding tickets, basically anything that takes points. So if it's just like a parking ticket that you don't lose points, you're still like a clean record. But based on the number of years that you still have that, you can get these cards each year. They give you like huge discounts. For example, like at the ski mountains, you can get like between like 300 to 500 yen off of a day pass.
All right.
For like at a suit shop, you can get like 10, 15% off.
A sweet shop?
Suit.
Oh, suit shop.
Suit.
All right, you get 10% off.
Which is huge in Japan.
Yeah.
People wear suits.
Yeah. Right? I've only got 2 suits, though.
Yeah, well, if you got one of these cards, you get another one with 10% off.
So how do you get these cards? How do you get an SD card?
Well,
What requirements are
you just have to fill in this application and then submit it to, I think, the city. I mean, you probably wouldn't do it, because, again, it sounds like something so, like... shady, where they're trying to like keep tabs on you, but they already have tabs on your driving record anyway. So,
Yeah, I mean, I don't drive enough for them to warrant making a record for me.
That's the whole point, though. If you don't drive, you've got a clean record. You get
better. It's better to get an SD card.
How long have you had your license for?
Long time. Like, I guess 10 years.
Oh, dude, you'd have, like, the highest level. You'd have, like, God level of safety driver.
Because I never drive.
Yeah. Because I think it's, like, 3 years and 4 years to 6 years, like 6 years, 8 years. And like
how long has this been going on?
Safety. I've known about it for like 4 or 5 years.
And how long have you had your one?
4 or 5 years. Yeah. But I have to apply for it every year.
Oh, okay. You got to apply every year.
Yeah, yeah. Because I got to check your record every year.
Okay.
And if you've made it like another year, then you qualify to the next level.
What level are you on?
I haven't had my license that long in Japan. I just joined like 4 years and above.
You've only had a license for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So before that, you just rode your bike.
Yeah, I walked. I was hitchhiking. No, there's for certain periods, like I was getting like an international license every time I went back home.
Ah.
I was just using that whenever I wanted to rent a car.
Yeah. To be an American, you can't
just switch it over.
You
right
got to do a test. So you did the test in Japan.
Yeah. And but the thing is so certain countries you can switch over.
Yeah, right I did. Right? I just switched over. Yeah. I didn't take a test or anything. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because it's driving on the same side of the road.
It's driving on the same side, but I didn't have to know what any of the signs meant.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what a lot of the signs mean. And I'm just driving on the road. Oh, what's that sign mean? I don't know. It could be can't drive this way. Yeah. You know,
it's not a traffic
place. Yeah, I just gave him 4,000 yen, waited 2 hours, watched a video, and then got my license.
Immediately had a driver's license.
It was crazy, man.
Well, for the US, yeah, you just have to do a slight conversion test, like the normal test. So there's like two tests. There's the written test, driving test. I think the normal written test is like 50 questions or something. But if you have an American license, driver's license, you take a abridged version. It's like 20 questions.
Is it in Japanese?
I can't remember.
I heard it was.
Yeah, but I will admit I got one question wrong. Actually, it might have only been 10.
Oh, yeah. 10 questions.
Yeah, and I think I got one of them wrong.
90%.
Which is pretty embarrassing.
Not bad.
Yeah. I think you can only get two wrong.
Yeah. How's the practical test?
A little embarrassed to talk about this.
I heard it's pretty easy.
The driving test?
Yeah, because you don't do it on the roads.
You
do it in a driving
course.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because it doesn't
sound on the
represent
road.
Real driving.
But I think the reason they do that is because most people in Japan go to like driving school. Pay like $2,000 to go to driving school.
Yeah,
yeah.
You didn't do that.
No. Yeah, for a U.S. license, you just have to take a paper test, and you have to take a driving test. And man, before I went to my driving test, sorry, I should have pulled you there. Before I went to my driving test, the guys at work were giving me a hard time. They were like, "Oh, this guy is the only guy who failed his driving test," and it was like not a very smart guy at work. And they're like, if you fail it, they're like, man, you're not in good company. So I had all this pressure on me, man. And so I went, and there was this tricky spot, man. This tricky spot where, like, a huge, huge intersection.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
And so I like...
In the driving center.
Yeah, in the driving center. Huge intersection.
And no cars coming.
No cars. No cars or pedestrians, anything. No children throwing balls or any of that. And I made like a turn, and instead of like going all the way to the like left side, there's like an island in the middle of the road. Instead of going all the way to the left side of the island, so I was on the left side of the street, as you're supposed to be in Japan, I like turned and I just like turned like on the incoming traffic, basically.
And you bust.
No. The guy was immediately like, "Dumb it up!" He was like, "Modore!" And he's like, "Go back to the beginning right away." He's like, he got super, super angry. And I was like, "Dude, chill out, man.
It's not real. It's not real."
Yeah, so I like, yeah, I drove the car. No, actually, what I did say is I got back and I was like, "You gotta let me do it again." I was just thinking about all the guys at work. I was like, come on, you gotta let me go through the course again, man. I promise I can do it. He's like, no, you go inside, and you sign up for another test when there's an opening. And I went inside, and they were like, oh, we've got like an opening in 1 month. And I was like, no, you gotta let me take it later today. I was like, I can't go back to the office, man. But they were like, all right, if we have a cancellation, we'll let you know, but otherwise it's like a month away. So I went back to work, man. I had to hear it from everybody. But fortunately, they had a cancellation like 2 days later.
Oh, right, nice.
And so I went back and I passed it. There are some difficult parts, not just the intersection. There's like a portion. So when I went back, I was with a girl, and I went through and I passed, but we were like driving together, so she had to go next. Actually, she went first. And there's like a portion you have to go on, like a very windy section. If you fall off, because it's like kind of raised up off the ground, and if you fall off, like the car kind of falls off a little bit off the course. And this girl and we both did the manual test. Speaking of which, what's your license? Do you have manual or automatic
in Japan? Yeah. Probably manual, because my British license is manual.
Oh, so you didn't have to even do the job. Yeah, so I went hardcore. Even though I hadn't driven in Japan a manual for like however many years, I took the manual test.
You opted.
Yeah.
So you can opt whatever you
either
want.
Automatic. Yeah, so I did the tough guy stuff, man. But this poor girl, man, she like, it was the same instructor. And she was driving and she fell off the curb, and the guy like got super angry at her and was like, go back. The strangest thing was that guy, afterwards I was talking to him, he's the nicest guy. So you know what, I think he like purposely gets like really mad during the test, or kind of like scares the person and like kind of puts them into shock so they never make that mistake again. Because now whenever I'm like turning intersections, I'm always super careful. Even if it's like a huge intersection.
Do you know the ratio of first time passes in Japan? I'm sure you've researched.
Oh, it's probably like 2%. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is. It might be higher, but I like.
Do you know anyone else that's failed first or passed first time or failed first time?
Man, you know what happened actually when I went back to work? Some people were saying that guy was the only guy that failed. But after like I fell, there was a couple more people who were like, actually,
oh, it came out.
Yeah,
they
just giving me a hard time. Yeah. So I think that course is a little bit challenging. I'll admit, I should have passed on the first time. I made a stupid mistake.
Are you nervous? Is that because you're nervous, Berg?
I wasn't even nervous. I might have been nervous. It was more so the intersection was huge. I think that was the other thing. They make it like this huge intersection. So when you're turning, you think you're turning.
Surely that's easier if the intersection is bigger, right?
You would think so. You would think so.
Wider roads.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyways, driving.
What else? What else we got? What else got in my notes?
About the consumption.
Yeah, consumption tax, cashless payments. Anything else you want to add, Berk?
Well, actually, one thing I did want to talk about is, obviously, the reason they're introducing this tax hike is because of the social security costs in Japan. One thing is obviously taking care of elderly, ballooning social security costs, social health care system. On top of that, they're trying to encourage people to have children.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of this money, they're saying, is going to go towards, like, encouraging families to have children. And because of that, that's why from right now already, or from next April, all children who are in preschool or kindergarten from age 3 to, I think, like, I can't remember, but starting at age 3, those costs will now be free.
Oh.
So you don't have to pay.
From now?
Yeah.
Wow.
So some people that are paying like hundreds of dollars per month, thousands of dollars per year, all that money is expenses completely gone now.
Wow.
So you don't need to pay those
costs.
So
that is what all this tax hike is going towards.
Significant portion. I can't remember. It's divided into three sections, and like one of those sections is dedicated. I think the biggest portion is because Japan's deficit is so huge. It's like more than two times larger than GDP.
Yeah. I heard like when they raised the tax the last time, which was how long ago? 5 years ago, something like that?
I think it was maybe three.
Yeah.
Three or four.
Didn't like the country go into recession?
It did. Because obviously before the tax hike, there's a lot of purchases that are pulled forward. People buying cars or homes or whatever. And then after the tax hike is introduced, it was like several months, maybe even half a year or something, where the economy and consumption completely dropped. And so that's why they actually delayed this tax hike increase a couple times this time, because they were worried that the economy wasn't strong enough for it. But so they're making these child care costs free for a lot of people. But I was talking to my wife, and she was saying, like, those teachers, Japanese teachers in those, like, daycare centers are getting paid, like, such low salaries.
Yeah, right.
That they shouldn't be, like, giving the money back to the families. They should be raising the wages of these people in these daycare centers.
I heard they get paid nothing. Even elementary school teachers, the salary is so low.
Yeah.
Which, and they should be getting the money.
They should. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing that Japan, like, for some reason fails to recognize this, but corporations have so much profit and money in the bank, and actual salary levels are so low, and that's one reason why a lot of people don't feel like they have enough money to support a family, or they want to have enough money to spend on themselves, so they don't want to get married. What they need to be doing is, like, giving a lot more money back to the people raising salaries, and that's the way to encourage consumption, in my opinion. And instead, corporations are just super, super greedy. And you can read about it online. They talk about how many trillions in savings, like, or in the bank corporations have in Japan. And this is unlike any other developed country in the world. So Japan should rethink that point, in my opinion.
I think I agree with you, Berg. I agree with you. One thing I want to talk about is, you know, when you, like, buy things in America, and they have, like, they have the buying price, but it's not the real price, right? It's the price before tax. Do they still have that? So, like, when you go to pay, it's a different price than what you think it is.
Like, you mean the actual sticker on the item?
Right. That's not the price you're going to pay.
I don't remember.
Because I know the last time I went to America, it was a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago. And that was one thing that I really didn't like about going to America. Like, you think you can afford to buy something, but then you take it to the cashier, and then it's like, okay, now plus the consumption tax.
Actually, yeah, that might have been the way it is.
And that's what it's like in Japan now. But it never used to be like that. Like, before the first tax hike came up, you know, the price you saw was the price you paid. And then the original 5% tax went up, and then it was like, okay, they had this price, and then you would add on 5% when you get to the cashier. But now they have the buying price, and then they have 8 or 10%. So when you go to the cashier, you still don't really know how much you're paying.
So it'll just say on the sticker whether this is...
Yeah, it's got like a small print, okay. 8 or 10%. Which I guess it helps a bit better that they have the small print. But I remember in America, they didn't have small print.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas in England, they always have whatever price you have, that's the price you pay.
Yeah, some of our American listeners should chime in about that if it's still that way.
I went home. Didn't you go home like last summer?
I did, but I was on vacation, and fortunately, I was visiting family, and family is generous, and I didn't have to spend anything. I didn't have to spend too much money, man. I mean, obviously, I had to spend a lot of money to get back there. But in Japan, though, they do have sometimes zeikomi or zeinuki. Zeikomi means like price that you'll pay with tax. Zeinuki is price without tax.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they do, but I haven't been paying too much attention since the tax hike was introduced.
Yeah, I know they have two now, the 8% and the 10%.
They do.
But then I guess you don't know which one you're going to get charged until you go to the cashier.
And then pay for it.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you go to a sushi restaurant, you can get takeout or eat in, right? So then it depends upon that. So
yeah.
8% if you want to take out, 10% to eat in. Yeah. So they want to encourage people to take out, then? Is that the point of it?
Or is it
that extra money is going to the staff?
Oh, that they're not charging on the assumption tax? I don't think so. I don't think there's extra money, you know. Oh, yeah. So, I don't know, man. The whole thing is very, very confusing. They were so, like, timid about whether it was going to send the country into another recession or not.
Yeah.
They did all these, like, special programs to try to help it, which just made it even more confusing.
Yeah, and it seems like it's been a lot more problematic than people expected. So it'd be interesting to see in a few months down the line what happens to Japan, and I guess we can report about it on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But we're about at time, so thanks for tuning in, guys. Have to catch you next time. Anything you want to say, Bert?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for always tuning in, and please consider making a donation. That would certainly help us out for some of the small costs we have. It's not a lot of costs, but we do have costs for sure, and any little bit will definitely help us out, so please consider it.
Thanks.